Got your Bible nearby or your phone, you'd like to follow along with the scripture that's been asked to be read this morning. It's going to come from the book of Luke. Luke 24. And if we look at the end of Luke 23, we see Jesus being crucified. We see Jesus being put in the tomb. And we're going to start at verse 24, chapter 24, excuse me, the first 12 verses. This is from the New American Standard. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. They would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened.
We want to love you with every ounce of our beings. Please forgive us when we fail you. Help us to look to you in all instances. Be with us right now as we study your word, as we look at the Emmaus disciples in Luke chapter 24. God, I pray that we can learn from this narrative of what happens with they encounter the risen Lord. Be with us now. Be with me as I preach your word. We love you dearly. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So you might be looking at the PowerPoint going, well, why are we in Luke 24 when the PowerPoint says Acts Evangelism Study? That's because I want to promote this entire lesson. It's kind of promoting Wednesday evenings. If you are not taking the opportunity to come on Wednesday evenings, I want to encourage you. A few of us brethren, Doug and myself, are going to be, a few other men in our congregation here, are going to be teaching over the book of Acts with a focus on evangelism. And I think the men that are teaching this, we're all very, very passionate about evangelism. And we're so, so excited to do this. And so this morning's lesson, as I've said, I want to promote and encourage each and every one of you to come on Wednesday evenings with us. So this is a challenge that Brother Doug gave. You know, maybe you don't want to come now after there's a challenge. You know, challenges are hard. He challenged us to read through the book of Acts every 2 weeks. So that means there's 28 chapters of Acts divided by 2. That's 2 chapters per day. We got 2 weeks, 14, 28 divided by 14 equals 2. Okay, you see up there 8,329 seconds of reading. If you want to know how I know, that's because I went on the Bible app and I went through each and every chapter and looked at how long it would take to read to you. And yes, in this era, we can have the Bible read to us. So approximately 10 minutes per day is what it's come out to be. 10 minutes of opening your Bible or listening to your Bible per day. As I've said, the Bible app will read it to you. And how long does it take to drive to work? If it takes less than 10 minutes, there you go. You got 2 chapters knocked out per day. So I really encourage you to do this as we go about studying the book of Acts together. I really encourage you to do this. I've got all the numbers of each and every chapter, and this took me quite a bit of time, and all I'm going to show you is the 8,329 seconds. But I encourage you to go through this study with us. So, Acts is unique. Acts is the only book of the New Testament that is a volume 2. And you might be, Caleb, hold on a second. There's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Well, those are responsive letters. There's 1 and 2 Timothy. Those are, once again, responsive letters. Luke wrote the book of Luke with the intention of also writing Acts. If you look at Luke 1, we see, he's writing to someone called Theophilus. Same thing in Acts chapter 1. He's writing to Theophilus. So in order to get a good understanding of the book of Acts, we really need to help ourselves by really studying the book of Luke as well. So, and that brings us to Luke chapter 24 with the Emmaus disciples. I'm really excited to preach about this because I've been wanting to, but finally have the opportunity to do so, and I'm really excited to do so. So let's dive in real quick. Point number one, and I apologize for these PowerPoints. I look at my computer at home and as I'm preparing them, and it looks good, but I'm just going to tell you, that says point. At least I got the point down here. Treat others like Jesus. That was what we're getting from Luke 24. So if you would, we're going to start in verse 13. The reason I had verses Luke 24, 1 through 12 read for us is so we can understand the context. Jesus has just risen. Some aren't believing. The women are. Luke 24, 13. Let's start in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. They got two disciples walking down the road. They're discussing everything going on. Verse 15, and while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. Verse 18, the one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days? What things? Jesus says to them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Starting in verse 25, he said to them, Jesus speaking, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter his glory? Verse 27, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Verse 28, they came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So he, Jesus, went in to stay with them. Verse 30, it was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? Verse 33, that very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. And the last verse, verse 35, then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So the first point that we have, treat others like Jesus. We see Jesus go up to two of his disciples and he begins talking with them. How important is it when it comes to evangelism, simply greeting people, simply saying, hi, my name's Caleb. I've given probably too many sermons on greetings, but this is so, so important. If we don't get this first step down of hi and introducing ourselves, I don't really know what the next step is. It gets awkward after that, and we're all guilty of this. My thing is, when you walk up with someone who you're struggling to get along with, you slowly find common ground with them if you walk with them. If Doug and I are struggling to get along on something, And one of us says, hey, let's go on a walk together and we'll figure this out. By walking with each other, you slowly come to common ground. I don't know what it is about it, but you slowly come to common ground with each other and you get along with each other. Isn't that cool that Jesus did this with these two men who are disputing and struggling to get along? Jesus walks with them. When it comes to greeting our fellow man, COVID has really, really messed us up. Do we greet people like this? Do we greet, hi, my name's Caleb? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's necessary to do that. But sometimes with COVID, we do it like this. We go, hold on, it's nice to meet you. Once again, I apologize for the PowerPoint. But that picture, I think it's pretty funny. You can laugh about it. It's okay. COVID has caused us to think that people don't want to be greeted. And it's really, really, really sad. What does Jesus tell us to do? He tells us to greet our fellow man. Walk with them. That's what he does with these two disciples here. And I'm guilty of this, and so many are guilty of this. And sometimes, this is another stereotype that we have with American culture, because the younger generations, my generation and younger, are getting more and more socially awkward. That's just the truth. It's sad. I wish my generation wasn't that way, but it's true. Because generations, younger generations are getting more and more socially awkward, we allow this awkwardness to determine our actions. And therefore, we don't say, hi, my name is so-and-so. When in reality, we need to be just like Jesus. Rise above society, rise above our culture. Whatever culture says, it doesn't matter. We have to go with the culture of Jesus versus the culture of America. So are we willing to walk with others? Are we willing to walk with people who have no idea that our goal with them is to share Jesus with them? Sometimes we need to be greeting like this. I say sometimes. We always need to be greeting like this. Going up and shaking hands. Introducing ourselves. Nothing can replace a warm-blooded human being. Social media can't do it. COVID proved it. Saying hello and eventually giving a hug. That's what Jesus does. Point number one. Are we treating others like Jesus? We get into our point number two. Are we using the scriptures like Jesus used the scriptures? Look at Luke 24. Look at verse 25. These men are just, right before this, these men are like, haven't you heard about Jesus who died? We thought he was the Messiah. Starting in verse 25, he said to them, Jesus, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And focus on verse 27 with me. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So after greeting these two men, we see Jesus' plan is slowly coming together. He's revealing himself to these men. And how does he do it? He does it through the scriptures. Jesus, I want us to think about this. Jesus could have used any tactic in the world. This is God in the flesh. He could have used so many things to reveal that he is the risen Lord to these men. And what did he do? He used the scriptures. How often do we meet people and we don't take this next step of asking for a Bible study? I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. How often do we meet people and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and then we're kind to them, we show love to them, I shine my light to them, we go to bed putting our heads on our pillows and saying, you know what, I shine my light, I did my duty today, but we don't take that next step of pointing to Jesus through the scriptures, just like Jesus did with these two disciples. Jesus' goal was not a kind greeting or showing his love. Those are given. His goal was to point to him through the scriptures. Are we showing Jesus to people through the scriptures? Sometimes we might think we need fancy or attractive buildings. We need a big gym. We need all this fancy stuff that the church down the road has. We need the latest technological advances. We need all these different big things. And sometimes those things can help to get crowds to come. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing that we truly need, and that's the Word of God that leads to salvation. Many people get so focused on these big technological advances and all these attractive things, these fancy things, but they don't focus on the most beautiful and attractive thing that the Lord has ever given us. To help point people to Jesus, we need the Word of God. And all throughout Acts, going back to our study on Acts on Wednesday nights, all throughout Acts we read about Christians pointing to Jesus using the Word of God. Are we pointing to people like Jesus pointed to people with the Word? Look at verse 32. After Jesus has revealed himself to them, they recognize who he is. Verse 32, they said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" When people are seeking the truth and they hear the words of Jesus from the Bible, this is how Jesus works on people's hearts. And then they then come to believe in him. Read this verse with me out loud if you would. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Here we go. "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Read this next one with me as well. Ephesians 6, 17. Here we go. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And last but not least, 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. Let's all read together. "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Thank you for reading that with me. All throughout Acts, we read about Christians using the Bible. We see in Luke 24, Jesus used the Scriptures to point these men towards him and the hope of salvation. Are we using the Scriptures to point to Jesus, to point to the hope of salvation? And our last point, point number three, are we giving hope to all like Jesus? Look at Luke 24. We'll read verse 30. We'll start there. "It was as he," this is talking about Jesus, "reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them." Verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?'" Verse 33, "That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together who said, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Each and every person that hears the scriptures has the opportunity to come to the realization that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world. And that timing of when someone comes to that realization that Jesus is the Savior and that we need his blood, all that is in the Lord's hands. We don't know the time. We don't even know if they will give their life to Jesus. We said this past Wednesday night, when you look at the parable of the sower, many of us are familiar with the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow his seed. Some fell on rocky. Some fell on thorny. Well, here's the thing. Are we looking at the soil on top? Because we can't see the soil that's underneath. And we don't get to decide if people follow Jesus. They have to decide. And they can never have the decision if they've never heard the Word of God. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, speaking about Jesus, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We need to remember that because Jesus rose, we someday will rise too. And if we're not giving that opportunity to people, if we're not greeting them, fellowshipping with them, I could go into a whole nother point. When they brought Jesus into their home, Jesus goes into their home. If we're not going into the home, if we're not greeting, we're not going into the home, and we're not opening up the scriptures to reveal Jesus to people through the Bible, through the Word of God, brothers and sisters, we're not doing it right. We're not doing it right at all. Let me give you a story of two young men named Gary and Danny and their hope that they have. Gary and Danny were two young men growing up, two little boys, growing up in the neighborhood. And they were able to hop the fence. They were able to get to each other's backyards, and they'd play around with each other. If you've ever had that experience growing up with a little neighborhood friend, it's a blast. Well, the Gary and Danny experienced that. They grew up together. They went on the school bus together. They did everything together. Well, eventually, Gary's family says, "Hey, we need to go back. We want to get starting back going to worship services again." And Danny's family says, "Well, why don't you come with us?" So they start going to worship services. They go to Bible camp in the summers every year together. They start doing everything together. About age 15, 16, they're both baptized at church camp. They give their lives to Christ. Where you see Gary, you see Danny. These boys are so close. They have their lives planned out. They get to high school age. They think they're going to do everything together. They got the business plan out. We're going to open up a business together, all this stuff. And then Gary gets a scholarship opportunity. He gets a big scholarship opportunity to go off to college, get a full ride, and all this stuff. He says, "I'm not going to do it." And Danny says, "Well, you have to. How could you not?" He says, "Look, you'll be back in 4 years. You'll have your degree. We'll get a you'll have your family. I'll have my family. We'll be best mans in each other's weddings. We're going to raise our kids together. They're going to be best friends. Maybe some of our kids will get married. It'll be great, man. Someday we'll get old. We'll sit on the front porch together, reading our Bibles together. It'll be absolutely beautiful. This is the dream, brother." So Gary says, "Okay, I'll go." Gary goes off to school, comes back for Thanksgiving break, and he sees Danny. It's been a little bit. And Danny just doesn't look right. He looks skinny. He doesn't look like himself. Looks rather pale. Doesn't look very good. He doesn't look like himself. Gary says, Danny, what's going on? You okay? Like, what's going on?" Danny said, "It's just work. I'm stressed. I'm stressed as all get out." Gary said, "Okay." So Gary goes back to school. Gary came back for Christmas break, and as he got off the plane, his mother comes up to him and says, "Hey, I got some news for you. Danny's in the hospital. He's got cancer. The doctors have only given him a few months to live. Right as soon as you left for Thanksgiving break, he found out." And Gary's saying to his mama, "Why didn't you tell me?" His mother says, "Danny wouldn't let me. He knows you would have quit school and come back immediately, and he didn't want you to give up your life like that. He's waiting for you in the hospital right now." So Gary and his mom are on the way to the hospital. And through Gary's mind, he's playing all these stories of all them growing up together, going to church camp, being on the church bus together, going to events, playing ball together, growing up with each other, and all these things that they're planning on doing, and it now sounds like they're not going to be able to do it. And he's trying to plan what he's going to say to him. He's like, "What do I say to my best friend who's dying?" He gets to the hospital, he gets in the elevator, he continues to think, "What am I going to say to him? Tell him how much I love him, how much I'm here for him." He walks into that hospital room, and he sees Danny on the hospital bed, just does not look good. If you've ever seen someone dying of cancer, it doesn't look good. And Gary just can't speak. He's lost all his words. Doesn't know what to say. Danny looks at Gary and he says, "Gary, do you know what it's like to live without hope?" Danny said, "No." He winks at him and says, "Neither do I, brother." Danny understood. Maybe you've had a family member in this situation. Maybe if you experienced loss like this. With Jesus, there is hope beyond the grave, brothers and sisters. This is a hypothetical story. It could have happened. It probably has happened. I know you've probably heard of a story, something like this happening with Gary and Danny. But with Jesus, there is hope. And every day, there are men and women living and dying without hope. Are we going to tell them about this wonderful, wonderful hope of heaven, of Jesus, and all that he offers? We are dispensers of that hope, brothers and sisters. We have the answer, and we've got to tell them the good news about Jesus. All have access to hope. So to recap our 3 points, are we treating others like Jesus? Are we walking up to them, greeting them, and loving them, and walking with them on this journey of headed towards Christ? Are we using the scriptures like Jesus? Are we getting to that point of, hey, do you want to have a Bible study? Can I tell you about Jesus? You want to talk about Jesus? Do we get to that point of sharing Jesus? Last but not least, are we overall giving hope to all? All throughout Acts, you will see people treating others like Jesus. You will see them using the scriptures like Jesus. And you'll see them spreading hope to all, just like Jesus. This morning, have you obeyed the gospel? I know Gary and Danny was a story that could have happened. I know their story is just very similar to that one. But do you have that hope that Danny had? Do you have that hope that all Christians have? As we read Colossians 1:18, Jesus is the head of the body of the church. Are you a part of his body? Are you a part of his church? The way you become part of that body is through faith in him and being baptized into his body and coming up a new creation. Having your sins washed away in baptism. It's a beautiful, beautiful spiritual surgery that takes place in the waters of baptism, and God is the surgeon. Do you have that hope? Maybe you are a Christian and you've lost that hope. Maybe you've forgotten just how powerful that hope is. That Gary and Danny story is a little bit difficult to tell if you haven't been able to figure out. Maybe you need to be reminded of that hope. Maybe now you are. Maybe you need prayers. If you have anything at all, you know who we are. You know who your elders are. You know who Doug is. You know who Brother Joey is. You know I'm here for you. If you have any needs at all, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.